Hey, my thanks to this group right here. You know, I put them in a very tough spot because I asked them about 2 weeks ago, and some of them probably had less time frame than that to know that they were going to have to match one of the greatest bands of all time, right? And that's a rather difficult job to do, but I am so thankful to them that they were willing to do that for us. And the reason that I'm so thankful, like, I'm old and I think of that song right away, and I was just reminded over here that if you were raised right, you can be under the age of 50 and know that song as well. So that's a good thing to be reminded of as well there, all right? So, what I really like is I love that part in that song, because if we hold on to anger, what does it do? It eats us up inside, right? Anger isn't something that grabs onto the person that you're angry at. It doesn't take them out of the game, right? If we are not good at forgiving, it doesn't hurt the other person. Rather, it hurts us. So as believers in Jesus Christ, or just as people that are made in the image of God, all right, if we hold on to anger, if we hold on to bitterness, it just wells up within us, and it can just drag us down. And you know, the world even gets, they can even see that. And Don Henley pulling that song together, singing that, and then this group bringing that out for us. What a tremendous job. Thank you to them so much. Thank you for being here this morning. It is great to be here. We are going to be taking a look at this idea of marked, and we are marked, and being marked, we are marked to forgive. Forgiveness is part of your life. Now, forgiveness is something that can be very difficult, because in your life and in my life, all right, there may be things that you do wrong. There may be times when you miss the mark, and you're aware of that. And we can either choose to make things right. We can go and apologize. We can go and try to set things straight with whoever it is that we are wrong with. But when it comes to giving forgiveness, frequently it is so hard to do. And it's hard to do because you're the one that has been wronged. And you feel like you are owed, right? I'm owed something, so it makes it very difficult for me to go and forgive somebody, especially if they're not going to come and ask for forgiveness. And then add on top of that the different layers, right? The different layers that are involved. Whether it's just something small where you've been called a name all of your life and you get tired of wearing that label of that name. Whether it's something a little bigger where somebody has stolen something from you. Maybe it was financial. Maybe it was a promotion. You were up for that and somebody else took that from you. Maybe it goes a little deeper. Maybe it's part of your innocence that was stolen from you. Maybe mom and dad stole a part of your youth, or maybe another family member stole a part of your youth by stealing your innocence from you. And it's so hard to forgive. Why? Because it damaged, it formed, it was part of the forming of your life, and you're there like, I'm damaged by that. And there are people that hold on to issues all of their lives trying to get rid of it. And instead of being able to forgive, which, by the way, as I stand here and speak, saying it is so easy, right? It's easy to say forgiveness, and it's easy to look and see in other people's lives that they need, you just need to forgive that person, right? But when it comes to our own lives, we're there like, but you don't know the hurt, the pain that caused me. So forgiveness can be such a difficult aspect of our lives. This morning, I want to take a look at a passage of Scripture. We're going to actually take a look at a couple of passages of Scripture. And I just want to encourage you. We actually have a great testimony at the end of this. It's a video testimony. If you've been here for a number of years, it was actually shown here a number of years ago by Pastor Barry. But it is a powerful testimony at the end about forgiveness. But what we want to look at as we move towards that, we want to look at some words of Jesus, because Jesus paints a great picture of us for us about forgiveness and about it being a matter of our heart, right? Getting to the heart of the matter in our lives. So as we start, I just want to look, because we're going to look in Luke chapter 7. In Luke chapter 7, if you have your Bibles, I'd encourage you to turn there. If you use your phone, that's fine too. But we're going to look at Luke chapter 7, and we start out with verse 36. And as we start this passage right here are the words that we have up on the screen, and you can follow along there as well or with your Bible. But I want you to know this is what takes place here in this passage, where Jesus is going to get to the heart of this Pharisee. And he says, now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus, all right, here in this passage from Luke, one of the Pharisees had invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and he reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him, all right, at his feet, weeping. Now, we think that's strange, but in that day, you would have, when you reclined at the table, you would have reclined forward with your feet behind you. So don't get the picture of sitting at the table and she's under the table washing his feet. Don't think that. But rather, it's a little bit, we would call it uncomfortable, sitting down low and leaning in towards the table with your feet away from the table there. But as she did that, she sat at his feet weeping, and she began to wet his feet with her tears. And as she's wetting her feet with her tears, she then wiped them with her hair and kissed them and poured perfume on them, at which point we all say, ooh, this is a little strange. But the love that she had for this man who didn't look at her as the sinful woman that everybody else in town looked at her. This is a man, this is Jesus, who looks at her and shows compassion, shows love for her. When the Pharisee who had invited him, all right, so the Pharisee who has invited Jesus, when he saw this, he said to himself, and this is one of the parts that you just love about passages, about Luke, how he writes this and how he brings us in. The Pharisee says this to himself. How many of us have ever said something to ourselves? We certainly hope the person across from us doesn't understand what we just said to ourselves, correct? Yeah, there. See, we're on board with that right there. But as you see that, he says this to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman this is touching him. Excuse me. He would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is. That she is a sinner. Now you get a little bit of insight into why this woman loved Jesus. Why did she love Jesus? Because here he is. Jesus isn't like this Pharisee, the other religious leader of the day who sees her and just sees sinner. Jesus sees somebody else. And as he said this to himself, right, now we get the fun part. And this is the part where be careful what you say to yourself when Jesus is in your presence. All right, because Jesus answered him, Simon, he's answering what Simon said to himself. Simon, I have something to tell you. And Simon doesn't realize that yet. And he says, tell me, teacher. And he continues on. Two men, Jesus said, owed money to a certain moneylender. And in owing money to this certain moneylender, one owed him 500 denarii, which is roughly a day's, each denarii is about a day's work, so 500 days' work, the other 50. All right, so he paints this scenario. One owes me a lot. One owed this moneylender a lot. One owed just a little. And he continues on. Neither of them had the money to pay him back. All right, they didn't have it. They couldn't pay it back. So he, the moneylender, canceled the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more? And the Pharisee responds with this. Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. So the Pharisee was able to see the big debt and the little debt, and it made sense to him. Obviously, the one that's forgiven more is going to love more. So Jesus then turns toward the woman, but speaks to Simon. And he says to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet. But she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss. But she has not stopped, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you that her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. The heart of the matter with this Pharisee right here that he has to get to is the Pharisee thinks that he doesn't have a whole lot of sin in his life. You know, he's lived a pretty good life. As a matter of fact, as a Pharisee, he has been someone that has probably followed the law. He has followed the Old Testament law, and he's probably done a pretty good job of it. And when he looks around the town, when he looks around the neighborhood, he is able to see that, you know what, all right, I might not be perfect, but I'm a lot better than that group over there. Oh, and there's that group back there. I know that I'm better than them. I saw what they were doing last weekend. Oh, and that guy over there, I'm aware of what his business does. So maybe not perfect, but I'm a lot better than a lot of others. What the Pharisee's heart failed to realize that he was in the same dire consequences as the woman. He may not have felt that he owed as much, but guess what? The end result is the same. And the same is true for you and I. Without the forgiveness of Jesus Christ in our lives, it doesn't matter if we've lived a pretty good life, if we've given a lot to charity all of our lives. Without Christ, our end is still the end as the worst sinner that we can imagine. And that's eternity lost. However, Christ came that we can be marked by forgiveness. So once we get to the heart of the matter, once we realize in our own hearts that God is at work in our lives, once we realize, you know what? My debt might not be as great as others, but my debt leaves me just as broke as it would leave anybody else, broken and in need of a Savior. So how does that help us when it comes to forgiveness? Especially when we know that somebody's done worse to us than we've ever done to anybody else, right? They have hurt me worse. How am I supposed to just take this little bit here about this woman that was a sinful woman in the town that she lived in and known about it? How am I supposed to take that because I'm not that person and just turn and forgive? Luke gives us a little more insight into the love of Christ a little bit later when we go forward. And as we jump forward into Luke chapter 23, he gives us this passage. We're going to go right through this. How can I forgive someone, right? We struggle with that. How can I forgive someone? We struggle with that in our lives. Absolutely unforgivable. But Luke continues on. And in Luke chapter 23, he gives us this story. And it's a story that we're getting ready to celebrate in just a few weeks. Celebrate. Why? Because there's forgiveness in this story. Two other men. Luke is going to tell us a story now of Christ being led to Golgotha here to be crucified. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him, that is Jesus, to be executed. And when they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Get the picture here. Jesus has been beaten. He's been through a mock trial. He has been abused, he's been spat upon, slapped, hit, his clothes taken, they've been auctioned off, cast lots for him. He's been whipped, as I mentioned, falsely accused, and even those that followed him most closely have left him. Everybody has abandoned him at this point. The Son of God, here on earth, in human form. The power of God at his hands, the ability to do as God has called within his voice, within just a call, looks and he says this, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." Think about that passage. That is our Savior and his work in our lives. The hurt that you hold, the hurt that can grab on in your life, the hurt that can just take part and just tear us apart, whatever that may be, Jesus gives us an example right here. Father, forgive them. In the midst of the greatest hurt, in the midst of the greatest pain, in the midst of the greatest betrayal of all time, the most innocent man of all time, perfect, the God-man, at the very moment that he is crucified, beaten, and spit upon, gives those words an example for us, and yet so difficult to do. So what can we do when we're faced with a difficulty of forgiving something that seems forgivable in your life. We can do that. We can pray for those who hurt us. It sounds simple, but it's difficult. All right, if you've had somebody that's hurt you in your life, you want to pray for them, all right? You want to pray that their brakes go out, right? You want to pray that their birthday comes and nobody calls. There's a song, Google it sometime. Maybe I'll work to sing it for you next week. But that's not the type of prayer that we're talking about here. We're talking about the idea that we need to pray for them. And sometimes it just starts with, you know what? God, help. Help me to be able to pray for that person. Sometimes it starts at that level. Why? Because we have a God who has gone through the pain, who has gone through the hurt. Everything in his life, everybody around him betrayed him. And yet he prayed, Father, forgive them. It's hard, but are we greater than that? That we can say, nope, I can't do it, will not do it. They need to come to me first. We need to pray for them. Luke goes on. I love it because Luke gives us another passage here to help us be marked. And this is just a little bit before the passage we were looking at before. And he says, Luke says these words, but I tell you. And in saying that, he says, but I tell you, those of you who hear me. So he's talking. This is actually a portion of what we frequently call the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus probably spoke it at different times, different places. So his disciples heard it different times. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who mistreat you. He goes on in that passage, and in going on in that passage, he talks about, listen, the unbeliever, they're able, right? What good is it if you're kind to those of you, those that are your friends? What good is it if you bless those that are kind to you? Even the unbeliever does that. But he asks us to do something different. Pray for those who have hurt us. Pray for our enemies. You see, a right attitude leads to right action. In your heart, and in my heart, in your life, and in my life, if we can get the right attitude at work, it will lead to a right action. Is it easy? Nope. If it was easy, we wouldn't have so much unforgiveness in the world. But when we've been changed by God, when we've been challenged by God, we need to be individuals who are able to forgive as we have been forgiven. That's the work of God in our lives. We need to be those who are willing to say, you know what? I see the hurt. I know the pain. I know what you have done to me. But I am not going to let that hold me down in my life. Another great theologian that sings songs by the name of Tim McGraw. Yeah, there we go, see? His words were, don't hold on to anger and bitterness. Why? Because it just eats you up. It keeps you from flying. But instead, tells you, always be humble and kind. Right? Work on forgiveness in our lives. Forgive as you have been forgiven. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you know what? You have been forgiven of all of your sins. And if you say, but my sins aren't that bad. I mean, I haven't even ever been thrown in jail. And other than a couple of speeding tickets, a couple dozen speeding tickets, I haven't even, that's what some would say, not me, some, all right? I like police officers, so I'm not even in trouble most of the time. So I look at myself and I say, I only owe the 50. But we need to forgive as we've been forgiven. Because as I said at the beginning, our plight, our destination was the same. Without Christ, I am bound for a Christless eternity. With Christ, I have been forgiven. What does that do? That allows me to forgive others. Those that are around me. Paul, a man in the New Testament, a man right there, just who was just months after, years after the death of Christ was persecuting the church. His life was miraculously changed, and an individual who had been a persecutor of the church goes on and he says these words. He encourages believers at that time with these words right here: bear with one another, right? Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive him as the Lord forgave you. Not easy, but so important for us to do. Not easy in our own lives because of what has happened to us, the hurt that's been caused by someone, but so important in our lives. I like this quote right here. Not forgiving is like drinking rat poison and then waiting for the rat to die, right? We wouldn't do that. But that goes back to the very idea that if we hold on to that anger, it builds up to bitterness, and it builds up the bitterness in our lives. And what does it do? It just hurts us. It doesn't hurt the person that hurt us. And we live lives in pain. We live lives that are hurt as a result of that. If you say it's hard to forgive, I can agree with you in a lot of areas, but I want you to watch this video. Because here's a woman who forgave what we might think is the unimaginable to forgive.
You know, of course, first year in college, not coming from a strong biblical family, it was very easy to get sucked into typical college life, drinking and partying and that type of thing, which I did my fair share of. It wasn't that I didn't know God was still there, because no matter what, I always believed that Jesus Christ was my Savior. You couldn't see it in me. You know, if you lined people up and said, who's the Christian? My name certainly wouldn't have been mentioned. My daughter, Shelby, was 16, and she was literally in love with the boy next door. Stephen was older than Shelby. He was 3 years older. We had better plans for her, but it wasn't to be had, because she did everything in her power to see Stephen, anytime, any place, anywhere. And at 16, Shelby ended up getting pregnant. And I was so angry about that. I thought, what are you doing with your life? She was adamant that she was going to have this child, and her and Stephen were going to live the perfect little life. And 2 months to the day of delivering her child, her life ended. Shelby died on June 14th, and Chevelle was born on April 14th. So just 2 months, and she was gone. And so I went from being grandma to mom. We always used to say, it sounds funny now, but we always used to say, Shelby would take a bullet for him if she had to. She was just that enraptured with him, that in love with Stephen, that she would have taken a bullet for him. And in effect, I guess she did, because she lost her life by his hands. When my daughter died, I was so angry. I was angry at everyone. I was angry at the young man who took her life. I was angry at everyone because I lost what I lost, and it wasn't fair. And that destroyed me, absolutely destroyed me. But even still, even then, I never railed at God and said, why? Why did you do this? Because I know he didn't do it. But I wasn't willing to go back. I wasn't willing to turn to him and say, help. Stephen had been processed through the system. He admitted that he had killed her. He was sentenced to 18 years in a state correctional facility. And I was glad at that time. I was glad. I thought by the time he gets out of prison, Chevelle will be an adult. And he'll have no right to her. He'll have no say in what's happened to her. And that's good. I wished on him then, heart pain, that he would think every day while he was incarcerated of the life that he took. And, you know, my husband and I, you know, we're now raising a baby again. And we had settled back into that. And, you know, then he was diagnosed with cancer. And it took his life in 3.5 months from diagnosis to death. After losing my child and losing my husband, I felt like I was no one. Like I didn't have an identity any longer. At this point, I firmly believe that my life needed to be broken before God could reshape it and put it back together the way he wanted it. And those two events broke my life. But God kept, he kept pursuing through the people that I knew, through Pastor Jeff. He just kept pursuing me, kept the little things that I thought, oh, okay, so I can go to church on a Sunday, that I can go one time just to appease him. I can go one time. And then I realized, wow, I like it here. I can go more than once. I started reading my Bible again. And just the verses that came back to me that I knew from so many years ago. Are peaceful, are comforting. Recently, once my husband passed and I realized that I needed to adopt my granddaughter for her own benefit, that where Stephen would have a place in her life became more and more real to me. As we went to court for the adoption, you know, we had to get his consent. And so the papers were sent to him. He appeared in court. And I wanted to tell him that I didn't blame him and that I didn't hate him. And I wasn't angry with him, that I had forgiven him, that I had made my peace with that, and that I had forgiven him for taking my daughter's life. At first, he couldn't understand it. He's like, how can you forgive me when I don't forgive myself? I killed her. And I said, I know you did, but you didn't mean to. It wasn't intentional. He didn't set out to murder my daughter. But nonetheless, her life was gone. But so was his, because he was now looking at 18 years in state federal prison. And how awful that must be. One of the last things he said as he was being led out of the courtroom was, can I write to you? God had changed me by then. And we started writing to each other. And that was the first contact that we had had in almost over 5 years. And I was able to say to him as I was writing to him, I am praying for you. I am praying that God will put someone in your path who knows Christ. About two letters ago, I got a letter from him, and in the letter was a tract. And I thought, oh my goodness. And on the back of the tract, he wrote, these are good for children and adults to come to know God. And so I immediately wrote back to him and I said, Stephen, do you know God? Like, do you know Jesus Christ? And he sent back, he said that he had accepted Christ as his Savior. And I cried. I cried right there. I was so grateful. I was so grateful and so thankful that someone cared enough about him to show him who Christ was and what he could do for him. I have told Stephen many times that I have forgiven him, and I have forgiven him through God's help for the damage that he caused in my life. And I only want the best for him now. I have 100% made my peace with that. No praise for me, but glory to God, because he was able to use me in Stephen's life. And I hope that he can continue to do that. I want Stephen to know there's someone truly cares about him. I found people who truly care about me. And it's like my own identity has resurfaced again. That I'm Lorraine. I'm not just Bill's wife, and I'm not just Shelby's mom. I'm Lorraine again. And I'm Lorraine again because God didn't let me go. He kept reaching out, bringing me back each time. Each time he made a way for me to know that he hadn't let me go. I am so grateful that he did not give up on me. Even when I thought I wanted him to, he didn't. I'm so grateful to God. My name is Lorraine Jenkins, and I am making more and better disciples for Jesus Christ.
Hey, that is a very powerful testimony. Pastor Jeff, as you heard her mention in there, worked with her and still continues to see her and her daughter today. Talk to Pastor Jeff. That's why he does what he does, to see lives changed. That's why we do what we do here at Bridgewater, to see lives changed. If you are walking around with the burden of anger, bitterness, because of the lack, the struggle to forgive something in your past, we would encourage you, turn that over to God. Start today. Start with an attitude that just says, you know what? I will start praying. And Lord, will you start to work in my life? If he can change a life like that, I assure you, he can change lives like yours and mine every day. We do not have to live as prisoners to the guilt, to the pain that is there, but rather Christ died for us. That is why we do what we do, why we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I would encourage you, if you need to know more about him, that you would grab onto one of us this morning and let us talk to you more about that. Thank you so much for being with us this morning. I'm going to ask that you bow your heads. I'm just going to pray for each one of us here this morning that God will just work in our lives. And then our band is going to lead us out this morning. I'm so thankful to them for the great work that they do. God, we say, you are a wonderful God. And Lord, we are reminded by stories like this of Lorraine that you are at work in our lives, even in the midst of pain, in the midst of struggle, in the midst of difficulties, God. I just ask that anyone here, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is speaking to this morning, that you would just continue to work in their heart and mind. God, if they need to, may they grab myself, may they grab another leader here this morning. Lord, may we be able to go home, and may we be able to pray for those that have hurt us, that we may be like our Savior, Jesus Christ, who when hanging on the cross looked and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And Lord, we say victory is yours because we can claim that we know, Lord, that you are able to do greater, more than we even imagine or think through the power of Jesus Christ that is alive in us. And God, we say thank you and we celebrate that. Lord, and we say this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.